Chris West.
Blog Talk Radio.
One of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
What you got, biatch?
I am the terror, the black in the night.
I'm forming a cadre of Martian knights charged with enforcing Martian law.
Sorry for the itty-bitty.
Look at her, she's so hot.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm a firm believer in the philosophy of a ruling class, especially since I rule.
That's right. It is that sci-fi show right here on the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. I am your host, Chris West, joined always by the beautiful Amy Bell, Sci-Fi Amy. Amy, how you doing today?
Wow, that was a mouthful.
Wasn't it, though?
What you just said, blah, 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 is all I heard.
Oh. I'm glad to know that you're paying attention.
I am.
We'll be on the final exam, you know.
Okay. How you been, Chris?
I have been, we've had kind of a shaky week here at the station. We had a lot of little computer issues, but I'm glad to say that we are out of the woods, or at least I hope we are, and that, you know, we'll at least be with you for the next 2 hours live with that sci-fi show, so you don't have to worry about the station going dead for 2 hours. We'll be here. Unfortunately, you know, I can't say the same for certain other hosts this week, because that's exactly what happened, but, you know, fingers crossed that won't happen to us because we're live. It's because we actually, you know, we put effort into our show, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Instead of trying to pre-tape.
Mm-hmm.
Though we do have pre-tapes that are going to play today.
Right.
But that's because they're like little 15-minute things. We don't do a whole hour pre-taped unless it's a weekend where it's like a holiday or something.
Yeah, we want to take off.
Exactly, and I just feel like getting the hell out
like
of
last week.
Exactly.
It's Easter weekend, you know?
Nobody
wants to work.
Exactly. Nobody wants to work Easter weekend.
Exactly.
I know I didn't, so I put on a tape show and got the hell out of here.
That's right. And I was glad to hear that. So I could say, yay, I could go shopping.
That's right. Now, you women and your shopping.
I was shopping with the kids.
Oh.
They dragged me to the store. I hate shopping.
Yes, yes.
Your Aunt Bonnie, she loves to shop.
Ah.
She'll spend all day long in one store.
That's right. It's always good to have the cool aunt / uncle that'll spend
yeah.
money on all the kids, isn't
Buy
it?
Me stuff. You don't have any kids. I'm your kid. Buy me stuff. I love you. You're my favorite aunt.
Well, I got nieces and I got nephews. And so, of course, I got to be the cool, you know, uncle.
That's right.
Because I go to all the conventions and I come back with all the swag. So, it's,
yeah.
Of course, when I come back with, like, you know, baskets full of swag from, you know, different conventions of, you know, here, you know, promote me on the radio. Have this. Of course, all that gets dished out right back to the kids.
That's right. So. What'd you bring me, Uncle Chris?
Pretty much, yeah. It's, you know, when I come back from a convention, it's the I got the two nieces from my one brother, and then I got my niece and nephew from my other brother, and my goddaughter. So it's the between the five of them, it's, you know, I get picked pocket pretty quick. I can't hide anything from these kids. They're better than me. And I used to be, like, you know, when it came to Christmas time, I can tell you, there wasn't, you know, by December 1st, I know everything I got. And I was real good, too. I even got the
really?
Tape just back right over where it had ripped, you know, the wrapping paper. I figured out, you know, hey, if I put it just back over the exact same place, nobody can tell the difference.
That's terrible.
I know.
My ex, he used to do that when he was a kid. He'd take an X-Acto knife.
Yep.
And he'd rip them. But they figured it out, though, because he wrapped it better than they did.
Well, see, when you do the X-Acto knife, you just like you kind of want to do like a corner so you can just lift up the corner and
yeah.
see what it is
so he,
and just
yeah,
tape it
he
back.
Would fix it, though, and make it better. And they'd be like, this is not how I wrapped it.
So
this is better
go.
Than I wrapped it.
Wrap it really crappy and make it look like, you know, it's wrapped good
exactly.
so that your kids wrap it even better. And you can be like, hey, you looked at this.
Yeah. So I buy everything last minute so that way they can't look around going, where did Mommy hide everything? Everything's at Best Buy.
Yeah, that's the good part about living on my own and not having any children of my own is that I can hide everything at my place and not worry about this. And I just, you know, get the big old sack out and put on the Santa Claus suit and put on the beard and the hat. And I, you know, kick in the front door of my brother's house and Santa's here with presents. I know, we're weird here on that sci-fi show.
Yes.
Well, we
that's a requirement.
Yeah, I think it is a requirement to be a sci-fi geek. You have to be a little weird, and
yes.
in my case, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got a lot of good things. Speaking of a lot, we have a lot of great things going on this week in this show. We got Brandon McCormick, who's going to be calling in shortly to talk about his new film, Blood on My Name, a Whitestone motion picture. It's actually a short film. And so I think you go to whitestonemp.com. You can check it out. It's a I'm not going to, you know what, I'm not going to give any spoilers. I'm not going to say what it's about or anything like that. If you want to know what it's about, go to whitestonemp.com and watch it yourself.
Yeah,
it's
or
awesome.
The link's already, I go onto our past shows link, or tab rather, and today's show's on there, and you can just click on the website.
There you go. You can go directly there or to our, you know, I don't think it's in the blog. I don't think I'm
No, no, if
blog.
You go to That Sci-Fi Show and click on past shows,
yeah.
I got today's show already up. And it I got the link for his website.
Oh, excellent. So there you go. You can go to our website, go to thatscifishow.com, and just go to our past show section. And, you know, it's right there at the very top.
That's
it's
right.
April
right.
30th.
Yeah, it says Whitestone Films. Click right on it. Go right to the site.
There you go.
That's
we also
simple.
Got author Ian Fidel, author of Breathing Space, the book one of the Exodus trilogy, going to come on and talk about that. Now, I have to admit, I don't know what that is because we haven't gotten our advanced copy yet. Kind of last-minute interview here, but that's okay. And, you know, Mr. Fidel, you know, we'd love to have him on and, you know, promote any authors especially. You got to think of it. When it comes to the sci-fi world, the authors have it the hardest because they, I mean, you know, making a movie and all that, it's a whole team of people behind it. But a book, it's just the one guy.
Yeah.
So we'll have him on. We'll find out what all, you know, is the Exodus trilogy and what's going on with book one, Breathing Space. And also we got from Bob and Carl Sci-Fi Janitors. That's right. We got Bo Brown coming on. He's going to talk about all the wonderful world of puppeteering and how much Mel Brooks, or not Mel Brooks, what's his name? Mel Gibson, because he's got that puppet movie coming out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's got a movie where he plays some guy that pretty much loses touch with the reality. And instead of talking to people, he uses a beaver puppet to talk to people.
Really? And that's Mel Gibson?
Yes, it's
really?
Mel Gibson.
Oh, this I think
is,
I want to see that.
He made this before the whole ex-wife phone call thing.
Oh, wow.
But, so it's been a while. They've kind of, like, waited a while.
They kind of ignored all that, you know, hoopla of the celebrities.
Yeah, but that was kind of bad. I mean, Mel
Actually,
Gibson.
I didn't even hear about it. So I don't even really know what you're talking about. I don't watch the news.
Yeah, no, Mel Gibson apparently, you know, he's got the drinking problem.
Right.
So, and apparently he taught his ex-wife how to record phone calls in case certain people call, they can record and have it for, you know, playback for, like, you know, if somebody threatens him or something like that.
Right.
Well, dumbass Leaser gets into a big fight with her, goes out and gets just drunk as a skunk, and then calls her up and just starts with the vilest, meanest things he can say and just tears into this girl. And not only did it once,
right.
did it repeatedly.
Wow.
Even after did it, after she started throwing these out to the media.
Wow.
Because, like, the next day she called up CNN or one of the, you know, big news websites, you know, networks, and gave out the tape. And it was just bad. And the dumbass calls back the next day. He'll ream her out again.
So he reamed her out. Big deal.
You know,
get over it.
You know
don't take his
said,
calls and don't listen.
Exactly.
You know, but no, she takes the call and she records it. And, oh, let me go call whoever on, you know, the TV and, you know, let them know.
Career.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, I think she's in the wrong.
You know,
personally.
I
think she should have just not, you know, he
right.
calls, just hang up on him.
Yeah,
just block his number or whatever.
By, you know,
if he's
going to
be a jerk, don't talk to him.
That's right. You know what?
You know.
And
so she's at fault too. I'm sorry.
Is. And for you know what, everybody, if you want more advice from our lovely sci-fi, you can go to our website.
That's
so
right.
If you just redid our website. You're going to hear me promoting a lot of it today.
Yeah, we did it like months ago, and then we sort of forgot about it.
So we completely redid the website.
Yeah.
We had a little issue with GoDaddy the other weekend. We finally got figured out. And we're back up and running. So if you go to thatscifishow.com, right there at the bottom on the left-hand side, now all the links are, instead of being on top, they're on the left.
Yes.
Which I think is a lot cooler.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. There's a little Ask Sci-Fi Amy where you can actually write her a personal email, and she'll respond to it.
Well,
on
it's
air.
Not really an email because everybody's going to read it.
Oh, yeah, it's kind of like a posting.
It's,
kind of
like a post.
Facebook.
Yeah, sort of like, yeah, just ask any question you like, and we'll answer it on air.
Do you really want
and
to go with
really,
ask any question you like? Think
yes,
about that one.
Well, don't forget, you know, it is, you know, anybody. And if you want to ask a personal question that you don't want everybody to read, just send me an email, amy@thatscifishow.com.
That's right.
And if you really, and if you're really cute,
oh, yeah.
I'm available.
Dating, yeah, that dating sci-fi Amy game. We'll have
that's
that
right.
next week.
That's right.
That's right. And also coming up at the end of the month, we got Mayhem.
Yes, yes, I can't wait.
I cannot wait either.
Memorial weekend, May 27th to the 29th.
Yep.
It is going to be a blast.
We got Bruce Campbell's going to be there. We are desperately working to get a hold of his.
You know, Anthony Michael Hall is on there now.
On Burn Notice?
No, no, not, I'm not on there. I mean on the site. He's going to be at the convention.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome. It just gets better. And the Boondock Saints are going to be there.
Oh, wow. Sean Patrick Flannery. You know, you're going to have to hold me back.
Am I going to have another Ben Browder incident on my
yeah,
hand?
Yeah, you might. I mean, he's no Ben, but he's pretty close.
He's no Ben, but he's close, yeah.
Yeah, he's hot.
At least
you don't
say that in front of him when I'm trying to interview
him.
Oh, come
him, on. Please. You know, when I talk to these guys, I'm very professional.
This is true. You are very.
I did talk to Ben Browder, and he thought I was lovely.
He did. He liked
we,
you a lot.
We had a nice
you
very.
Put on that restraining order.
But seriously, you know, we had a nice conversation, and he's a really nice guy.
He is a nice guy. And we, you know, we have a lot of fun when we go to these conventions. And you know what? You can always go to these conventions too, and you can find us. We usually have a table or something set up with a giant That Sci-Fi Show banner. It's big, black, and green, so it's impossible to miss.
Right.
And of course, me. You know, I'm. You know. The big 6 foot, you know, blonde haired, Grizzly Adams bearded guy. It's really impossible not to see me at a convention.
Yeah.
I stick out like a sore thumb.
And just look for the celebrities and you'll find me because that's where I usually am because I'm trying to get them to get interviews.
That's right. You are. You always do a good job on the interviews, too.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, let's get into it.
No one could say no to the twins.
Almost made me choke on that one.
Sorry, Chris.
Off that one out for a second. Well, you know, there's been a lot of, you know, talk about Josh Whedon in the last few weeks, especially with him starting directing this week with Avengers. But he did a movie a while back, and if you're a fan of horror movies, Josh Whedon and Cabins, it's kind of up your alley. It's called Cabin in the Woods, and it's finally going to get a release date. And it's kind of going through, if you remember years back when Rob Zombie did, what was his movie, House of a Thousand Corpses. He originally did it, and this is almost exactly the same situation. He did it originally with MGM. MGM watched the film and saw how, like, you know, horrifying had, you know, like, how bad Rob Zombie made it. I mean, it was a great film. If you've not seen House of a Thousand Corpses, you're missing out. And, of course, also The Devil's Rejects is the sequel to that, which is equally as good. Well, nobody would pick it up after that, and, you know, with MGM going belly up, unfortunately, this last year, and with all the economic troubles, you know, kind of got pushed to the side. So Cabin in the Woods has finally got picked up by Lionsgate, the exact same company that picked up Rob Zombie's film and put it out. And I swear that by, when they did that, Lionsgate, you know, wasn't a really big kind of company until they put out Rob Zombie's thing. So I think with, you know, they're going to cash in on another big cult classic franchise. I mean, Rob Zombie, obviously, with the music, he's got a big following. Josh Whedon, the same thing. I mean, you're talking Firefly, Buffy, you know, a number of projects that are associated with this man that everybody, every geek loves, you know, especially as also talk, well, I mentioned it, Josh Whedon, that there's going to be a sequel to Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog. Amy, have you seen that one?
I'm sorry, which one?
Dr. Horrible Sing-Along Blog?
No.
Neil Patrick Harris and Nathan Fillion?
No, I haven't seen it, but I've seen commercials with him singing. And
yes. If you know, I'm not a big, you know, obviously being the straight heterosexual man that I am, I'm not a big fan of plays or, you know, musicals and stuff like that. This is a musical that I couldn't stop watching or laughing. I've seen it probably 100 times off
wow.
my Netflix account. It's always saved my instant favorites. Whenever I, you know, just there's nothing else to watch, I'll put on Dr. Horrible Sing-Along Blog.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I'll have to check that out.
You're definitely going to have to check it out. Well, we don't have a official you know, release date yet, but it looks like somewhere Halloween 2011, Josh Whedon's Cabin in the Woods is going to come out. So we're going to kind of wait for that. Hopefully, you know, it'll live up to the hype. But it's Josh Whedon, so
yeah. Hey, Chris, my good friend Alex Vincent, it was his birthday yesterday.
That's right.
Yes.
It was Alex Vincent's
yes,
birthday.
Yes, and you'll remember him from Child's Play, the Chucky movies.
That's right. He played the little kid, the little boy.
That's right. And
I believe he did the first and the second one. The third one was some older teenager.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, he was at Spooky Empire.
Yeah, that's right. We had him on the air, a good friend of the show, Alex
yes.
Vincent. So we're going to go out and say happy birthday to you, my friend, and hopefully all is well in your neck of the woods. And, you know, feel free to call us anytime you want to come back on the air. Well, you know, we'll have to do that. We'll have to get Alex back on the air.
I'll send him a text.
There you go. See, that's right. We're so, you know, hip with the celebrities. We got their cell phones. We can text them. You can't.
No,
you can
I can't.
Yeah, well, let me
they
put
love
back.
Me.
Amy can text them. Certain ones
right.
don't want to talk to me. They know who they are, and I know who they are. We don't mix well, and John DeLancey can go die. Oop, did I say that out loud?
Hey, and remember my friend Richard Horvitz. He's gonna be in town this month.
That's right. He's gonna be at the new Florida SuperCon
comics
yep. store and anime store that they
That's,
got down the big
May 17th, I believe. That's a Saturday.
Yes, it is. And actually, I did reach out to our good friend Mike Browder, who is the owner operator of the store. He also runs Florida SuperCon.
Yes, and that's in July.
That Richard is going to be part of SuperCon as well.
All right.
They just announced that earlier.
What a cool guy.
Yes. You know what?
He is awesome.
Speaking of him,
yeah.
I downloaded a new game, or not new, but it's an older game. I got it on Xbox Live. I didn't know they had it, called Psychonauts.
Yeah.
It's a really good game on Xbox. It was for Xbox when it came out originally, so it's not, you can get a new version of it for the 360 on the, you know, downloads and stuff. But Richard Horvitz actually voiced the main character, Raz.
Really? Well, you know, I'm not surprised. He does do a lot of voice acting.
I know, but it was kind of cool is that I played it years ago.
And you didn't even know.
And I didn't realize it. And then I'm playing it, and I'm like, I know that voice. I know that voice well. I've had that voice hit on Amy in front of me.
Well, did you know that he was actually in the movie Summer School?
Yes, you was he?
He was in Summer School. You know, the one with Mark Harmon?
Mark Harmon was in it.
He played the geeky kid.
That's right.
Yes.
Oh, that is right. He put on some weight for that one, too, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a teenager.
That's right.
Yes.
I love
Can
that
you believe
movie,
that?
Summer
I know.
School.
I love that movie. It's one of my favorite movies.
I'm going to have to go watch that again. Wow.
I didn't even know that. I was like on IMDb just, you know, messing around and reading up some stuff, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I recognize that.
I totally got to talk to him about that next time we get him on the show because that and the Psychonauts, he's one of these guys, you know, Richard Horvitz, who's just kind of like all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, he does the voice acting, he does the real acting, and just kind of general, I'll be anywhere, you know, and that's what's great about him. And
yeah.
He's just one of these, you know, very awesome guys, especially at conventions.
Yes.
He doesn't mind sitting there and talking to you for like 20, 30 minutes and,
mm-hmm.
you know, hearing about how, how he inspired you in some way or you inspired him. He is just a really cool guy. You know, Richard Horvitz, we'll give you another good shout-out here on that show, so right here on that sci-fi show. So anybody who's coming down to the South Florida area, I think it's, what was the date there, May 11th?
May 17th, I believe.
May 17th, Florida SuperCon and Comics, Anime Superstore. He will be doing a live appearance there, as well as he will be at Florida SuperCon, which we will also be at Florida SuperCon this year. We've
yes, I believe it's
year.
July 1st to the 3rd,
yes,
if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. That is the correct date.
Yes. And, yeah, that was my first convention that I ever went to was Florida SuperCon.
That's right.
And it was just amazing. I just could not believe it. I mean, I just had this image of conventions in my head, you know, with just all these weird people, you know, all dressed up. Not just weird people. I mean, just really, really strange, weird people. And they're just...
You mean people more weird than me?
Yes.
Wow,
but
that is pretty weird.
No, I mean, the people were just, I just felt in my element. Every time I go to a convention, I feel like I'm in my element.
Oh, especially.
It's just, if I could have a convention every day, I'd go to one.
Especially. I mean, you know, that's our area. That is our area. They're geeks. And
yeah.
You know what? We kind of ran past our first break here. You know,
oh, and it's April 16th. I'm sorry.
April 16th.
I'm sorry, not April. May 14th.
May 14th. Richard Horvitz at
Florida. No, 21st.
21st.
Sorry.
Which one is it?
I keep doing the wrong one. I believe it's May 21st.
All right, May 21st.
I have a card, and it's at home.
Live at Florida SuperCon and Comics. We will be right back with more of That Sci-Fi Show. Be sure to check out our website, thatscifishow.com, as well as HolisticLifestylesRadio.com, where you can get all the lowdown on what's going on in the holistic world. As we're always got something going on, and we got, you know, when we get back from break, I'll tell you about the Memorial Day concert. Right when we get back from these words from our sponsors.
My name is Robert Gluck. I am a practicing trial lawyer and have been specializing in helping people who have been injured in all types of accidents for the past 20 years. I handle cases throughout the state of Florida. Recently, the legislature in Tallahassee has changed certain laws, and insurance companies are now taking advantage of those changes, resulting in much lower offers on personal injury cases across the board. It is now necessary to file a lawsuit to get a fair settlement on these cases. Before you settle your case for less than what it's worth, let me review it over the phone or in person with you for free. If there is no recovery, there is no fee. Call now for your free consultation at 954-583-8999. That's 954-583-8999.
The hiring of an attorney is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertising. Ask for free written information about qualifications and experience.
If you have a passion for helping people, you may be a perfect candidate to become a certified addiction professional. And there's no better place than the Academy for Addiction Professionals in Fort Lauderdale. The Academy for Addiction Professionals is nationally certified to train you as a certified addiction counselor, certified addiction specialist, or certified behavioral health technician. You can even take online continuing education courses. You will have access to cutting-edge resources, important certification updates, trends in the behavioral health field, and you can network with other addiction professionals. Turn your passion into your profession. Contact the Academy for Addiction Professionals in Fort Lauderdale, 877-824-0001. That's 877-824-0001 or online at www.addictionacademy.com.
In the fast-paced world we live in, it's hard to find a company that has an impeccable reputation based on professional skill and knowledge, coupled with a strong work ethic, honesty, and integrity. Welcome to the world of Canatelli Builders Incorporated. Specialists in custom residential and commercial construction for three generations, CBI finishes the job as agreed and on time. Browse our website at www.canatellibuilders.com, read the testimonials, then call us at 954-977-2775 and let us add your name to our list of satisfied customers. While at the site, be sure to follow the link for complete information about Chinese drywall and what it may mean to you. Integrity, ethics, honesty, knowledge, performance, service, experience, Canatelli Builders. 954-277-2775. Canatelli Builders, the official contractor for the Florida Panthers.
Sci-fi show right here on the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network, playing a little bit longer Doctor Who theme because, you know, I love the Doctor Who.
And it premiered last Saturday.
It did premiere last Saturday.
Part one of two.
Part one of two, and part two, you know, a lot of people had a lot of issues with part one. It was, they said that it, you know, didn't really look good. It didn't make sense. But you know what? Knowing that it's a two-parter.
Yeah, come on.
You know it's not going to make all, you're not going to get the full story, that they're going to save everything for the second half. You know,
right. Get you to watch.
And, I mean, if you looked at the previews for the second half, I mean, I think it was pretty clear that, you know, right as we're doing the whole, you know, the doctor, you know, we're not fighting a, you know, an invasion. We're fighting a revolution.
Right.
These guys have already taken over. So we're getting Brandon McCormick on the phone right now, and we're going to have him come on. And he is from Whitestone Films. He was the writer and writer, producer, and director of Blood on My Name. And it's a great little short film. I'm not going to give away any spoilers about what it is. I'm actually going to let Brian do it. And Brian's joining us on the phone right now. Brian McCormick from Whitestone Films. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing fantastic. And actually, it's Brandon, which actually happens all the time. So
it's
worries,
Brandon?
It is Brandon. No problem.
All right. Well, I always screw up
names. He screws up everybody's name, so it's just
don't
it's
take
not
it up
just
personal.
You.
Or you can call me Brandon the Great. That's another thing that's coming all the time, so... totally normal. So
Brandon looked great. Stroking the ego, huh?
Absolutely. So hey, thanks for having me.
Not a problem. I caught the film. You know, I saw the postings on Facebook through some mutual friends of ours, Dan Carroll and a few others, John Strangeway. And if you wonder who John Strangeway is, he is the steampunk Boba Fett you see at all the key steampunk conventions. One of the better, well-done costumes I've ever seen. Just a great guy all around, and say hi to him if you ever see him at a convention.
And he's quite a character himself. So.
Yes, he is. He is quite the interesting. He's as crazy as I am. So that's just to give you, you know, for those of you out there that know me, I'm pretty screwed up. So John is just as equally as screwed up as me, and that's why we get along so great.
That's good to know.
So, Brandon, tell me about... What is, you know, tell my audience here who haven't seen the film, what is Blood on My Name? What can they expect to see?
Well, Blood on My Name is a, you know, we say it's a kind of an Americana Southern Gothic folklore, which is a whole lot of words. But really, it's kind of a new exploration for us as a company at Whitestone to start going towards this, like, Southern Gothic fairy tale. There's been a lot of fairy tales in the past. That's kind of where we've been doing a lot of our work. Like Heartless, which is sort of the Tin Man and Candy Shop. But really, you know, we want to shift it into like a Civil War ghost story type thing. So it's kind of this gothic-y vibe, and it's also a narrative, musical, so which also is kind of strange and weird. So we've been experimenting with the musical genre for quite some time as well. So it's a little bit of a mixture of a lot of weird little pieces.
Well, you know what? In this day and age, you have to kind of mix, you know, all these different things to make something new and creative. You know, as a filmmaker, I'm sure you can attest to this, that, you know, you can't copy what somebody else did. You
sure.
have to do it
yeah.
bigger, better, you know, bigger, better, faster, the American way, as it were.
Yeah, and you know, finding something unique is getting harder and harder every year, every, you know, generation. So for us, you know, we've been doing a lot of... you know, borrowing in the past from, say, Tim Burton, Guillermo del Toro, some of my favorite filmmakers. And now we're finally turning the corner into something that's unique, that's us, and kind of our own voice.
Well, you know what, that's great to hear, you know, because like I said, you know, a lot of the people out there today, they'll do that. They'll do, you know, well, I really love Guillermo del Toro, so I'm going to base my style off of him. Or I really love Francis Ford Coppola, so I'm going to base my style off of him. And you know what? It's okay to take little bits, but you can't just copy the whole thing because, you know what, there already is a Guillermo del Toro, there already is a Francis Ford Coppola, and they've already made names for themselves.
Right, exactly. And you know, everything starts with kind of learning from the masters. So it's great to look at them and to kind of decode them, but, yeah, if you try to do carbon copying, it usually loses all of its power and it gets really kind of cliché.
Yes, it does. And, you know, like you said earlier, you kind of, you know, this world of ours, you know, it's not as big as it once was, you know, there's not as much in it. How do you, as a new artist, you know, and especially with film, a genre that has been around for forever and has, you know, seen pretty much everything, how do you find, you know, the creative spark to do something new? How does Whitestone, how do you as a writer and director do that?
Well, you know, for me, you know, filmmaking has been around for quite some time, but in the scheme of things, it's only been around for about 100 years. So what I could do is I try to go back into the basics of storytelling, myth-making, and dive, you know, back into the past of literature and stuff that I get excited about, and usually something from there will spark my attention or creativity. So, for instance, part of my name derives a lot from The Pit and the Pendulum, which is an Edgar Allan Poe story And it's just kind of about the inevitability of death, death creeping towards you at this kind of maddening pace and the certainty that we all experience of death. So that was kind of my true north that I was inspired by. Now, of course, the film has nothing to do with The Pit and the Pendulum, but it is kind of had draws some of those themes and motifs.
Well, that's very cool. And, you know, Edgar Allan Poe, you know, that's, you know, if you're definitely going to go for gothic, you know, Edgar Allan Poe is pretty much right up there at the top of the list of gothic things to take from.
Absolutely.
Now, you know, you're both a writer and you're a director. Now, obviously two very different jobs in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, you know, do you find that it's better to be both so that you have more creative control, but you also you have more of the headache? So, I mean, how do you, you know, balance it all out? How do you get to where you can keep your creative control as the writer, but also be the director and kind of take a step back and say, well, you know what, no, I think this would work, but it's not really going to work, so I got to cut it out. How do you really define that line for you?
Sure. You know, I've written a lot of my own stuff. I've also worked with really talented screenwriters. And at the same point, it really comes down to storytelling. Storytelling with your screenwriter, director, musician, anything, any kind of art form is a form of storytelling. So for me, it's just changing the medium. So it goes from screenplay to film. I'm just switching mediums and really focusing on the actual craft of filmmaking. So when I'm screenwriting and ultimately directing, you know, it stays up in my head and I'm able to adjust and change and grow as the project goes. But, you know, there's also that collaboration with another writer who, you know, if he was to write a screenplay, I'm sitting here trying to bring that story to life. I'm telling that story. But I usually find, and I usually suggest to filmmakers, they at least have the story in them. It's their storytelling. And so even when I do write with screenwriters, the stories, the basic concept will come from, you know, me or whatever's coming out of my brain, you know, out of desire to tell something or say something.
Well, that's very cool. And then, you know what, it is a fine line you do have to kind of walk, you know, because, you know, there are going to be times when, you know, you want to do something as a writer that just isn't feasible as a director. And, you know, it's good to kind of do both because then, you know, you can look at it from the director's point of view while you're writing it and go, nah, that's not going to work so much, but if I did this, that, and the other thing, it's going to completely change it around and make it sound completely different, and it's going to be 100 times better.
Sure, and then even then, when you get out on set and you're out with the actors in the real location, it all changes again. It's just like, wow, that, I had this in my head in pre-production, and it looked great on a storyboard, but now I've got to actually make this thing.
That's
and
right.
It all goes out the window, and you're going to do it again.
That's right. And then, you know, there's so many steps, you know, like to making a movie, to even to making a short film like Blood on My Name, that, you know, you obviously have a terrific crew over there at Whitestone. I mean, you know, obviously the film speaks for itself. It's just awesome in all aspects. You know, is it really, you know, the crew that makes it happen at the end of the day, or is it one person? You know, how is it for you guys?
Yeah, you know, at Whitestone, filmmaking itself is the most collaborative art form, I think, of human history. And you can't have any one component either suffer or take over because the thing doesn't work. And at Whitestone, we are kind of this community of artists, and we've been working together for many, many, many years, and all of the same people on every project. So when you see our films, they should have a, you know, similar sense and theme and motif, and it's because we all work together in the same, we're all, you know, digging out of the same well. So it's for, you know, there's everybody contributes their part. Nick Kirk, for example, the composer, you know, he puts music into all of our films, and he did a song for Blood on My Name, and clearly you take that song out of the film collapses, it doesn't even work. And that's, you know, again, we're serving music at that point, and in the beginning of it, we're serving the story, and everything in between. At some point when the characters of Dreads come in, we're, you know, that's production design, and they have to be, you know, in the forefront. So it's just really cool collaboration. And, you know, my job is to steer the ship one direction and say, everybody go this way. But from there, they all contribute and make the thing what it is.
Well, that's all very cool. Now, do you have we all have a little bit of an ego. And ego can easily torpedo and destroy a project. Have you ever had that happen to you? Have you ever had ego get in the way?
On my own, on my side?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, you know, the good news is with working with a community like Whitestone, we're half like a military regiment and half like a family. So, you know, we were able to call each other out on many instances. And so, you know, it's always, we talk about being servants of the story, servants of the film. And even if I have a cool shot that I want to do or something really, really fun that would look awesome, I still have to kind of give that up for the story. And it can't just become, you know, the Brandon McCormick show and Brandon McCormick films. And so, you know, we're kind of in a community where we hold each other to that standard. And so when you're surrounded by friends and really talented people that can keep you in check, it makes for a pretty good environment.
Very cool, very cool. Now, we know, obviously, Blood on My Name is the new short film that you've done out. Now, you also have The Candy Shop as well. Can you tell me a little bit about, you know, what I haven't seen it yet. Get a look at it later today. So kind of give me a preview and give my audience here a nice little preview of what we can expect to look at later tonight.
Sure. The Candy Shop is a very unique film. And from what I understand, there's not a film like it out there. We got the privilege to work with Doug Jones, who was in Pan's Labyrinth and Hellboy. He's one of my absolute favorite actors, and I got the delight of working with him. And it's actually a film that's a little bit like an activist film, and it's about the sexual exploitation of children. And it's basically child sex trafficking. It's an issue that happens here in Atlanta. Atlanta is the number one city in the country for the sex trafficking of minors. And yes, it was about anywhere from 400 to 500 girls a month.
Oh my God!
Are trafficked through our city, and these are girls under the age of 18. And you know, when I found this out, I was kind of stuck with having to deal with that issue. You know, what do you do about that? It's in my backyard. It's in my home. So we made The Candy Shop, and it's a 30-minute short film. And it's, you know, it's not, there's nothing gratuitous or offensive in the film. It's about a man who takes girls and puts them into his machine and turns them into candy, and then he sells that candy on the street. And, you know, the definition of the word lust is to turn a human being into an object, and that's what our film is about. And, you know, it was, we showed it here at the Fox Theater to about 4,500 people and launched a citywide campaign called Stop the Candy Shop in order to help people raise awareness and money and volunteers to actually put this issue to an end.
Wow, and you know what? It is an issue that does need to come to an end. You know, I'm absolutely shocked to hear that Atlanta, of all places. I mean, you know, we hear about South America all the time.
Right.
You know, the Western European countries like the Ukraine and you know, obviously Cambodia, China, and
right.
The Asian countries. You know, you don't really think of it as an issue that happens here in the States, but it does. And I mean, it's just kind of shocking to really think about it. Do you still have this organization up and running to where we can, you know, promote the website and, you know, maybe put it up on ours?
Absolutely. StopTheCandyShop.com is run by Street Grace. It's an organization here in Atlanta, but they are just about to go national. And there you can actually start looking at all the information, the research. But more importantly, you can actually sign up to volunteer. And that's what we've been trying to do, is push people into action. Awareness, just to be awareness, is ultimately pointless. And if you can actually get people involved, that's the solution. So
you're absolutely right on that.
That's
action is the solution.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you know it's going on and you don't do anything about it, what good is it going to do?
Right. And again, that's what the film's about. The reason it happened is because we just choose not to do anything about it. We don't want to talk about it. It's not the right conversation.
Yeah.
And, you know, for us, making a film like this, you know, we made a fairy tale about it. I mean, it's never been done that way. It's got a sci-fi type, you know, steampunk genre thing. It's set in the 1920s, kind of like Willy Wonka meets The Godfather. But from what we understand, it's the first film like this, and that was just our unique voice. You know, we couldn't do a documentary because I'm terrible at them, and we didn't want to do a PSA. We wanted to do something that was actually an emotional piece of art.
You know what, and I think that's honestly, you know, because the problem with the PSAs and the infomercials and the documentaries is that, unfortunately, they're boring. And
sure.
Once something becomes boring, nobody's paying attention to it anymore. So, you know what, I have to thank you and credit you for your work on, you know, dealing with this issue, because this is a very terrible issue. I have, you know, I've got nieces of my own that, you know, and a goddaughter that I fear every day that just, you know, I live down here in South Florida, and we're a major trafficking, you know, area of, you know, not only drugs and, you know, but also prostitution, minors. There's things that happen all the time in certain areas around here where, you know, they'll bust an entire hotel and they'll pull 20, 30 girls out of there, and they're all under 18.
Right.
And it's just, it's a terrible, terrible thing that is happening out there in the world. StopTheCandyShop.com is the website. Brandon McCormick is the man behind it. Well, he's one of the men behind it in Whitestone Films. And, of course, they got the new one, Blood on My Name, which is, you know, more entertainment than, you know, kind of the, hey, you know, this is the horrible thing happening in the world. So, you know, it's good to see that you're tackling both. And, you know, I'm just very excited to, you know, kind of check this out and put it up on our website and get involved as well. So, you know, Brandon, thank you for coming on that sci-fi show and, you know, talking to us and, you know, telling us all the great things that are going on in Whitestone Films. Give out your website and tell everybody where they can find this stuff at one more time.
Absolutely. Our website is whitestonemotionpictures.com, and there you can find all of our films that we've done. There's probably 7-8 of them that are up there. And Heartless, the story of the Tin Man, was our last big one before Candy Shop. So the Tin Man backstory from Frank Baum's book with our own little spin on it. So
check that out
and you know, let us know what you think.
I definitely will. And you know what? We'll try to get you back on here in the next couple of weeks after I do watch these. And we'll try to also, like I said, we'll put up on our website, StopTheCandyShop.com. Get involved. This is, underage prostitution is a terrible, terrible crime, and it needs to be stopped in this country as well as all countries. No little girl deserves to be put through that.
Absolutely.
All right. Brandon McCormick from Whitestone Films, writer, director, and all-around great guy, is joining us right here on That Sci-Fi Show. We're going to go ahead and take our next break. Brandon, thank you for joining us on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
No problem. All right. This has been That Sci-Fi Show right here on the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. I am your host, Chris West. Please check out our website, thatscifishow.com, as well as holisticlifestylesradio.com for all the latest news and happenings in our little world. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Paul Bordabella, over 13 years of in-the-business experience, plus hundreds of hours of court time, possesses the knowledge and experience to help you through all situations. All Florida Bail Bonds has prior law enforcement, military, and professionals with business experience, making All Florida Bail Bonds very well respected in the community. When you need a bail bondsman, make sure to choose one with a great reputation that's competent and a knowledgeable staff and the drive to appreciate your business. All Florida Bail Bonds. Call today at 954-565-2424 or at 866-ALL-BAIL. That's 866-ALL-BAIL. A-L-L-B-A-I-L.
When you're ready for a major change, make the natural choice for addiction treatment. The G&G Holistic Addiction Treatment Program. Our approach is all natural at G&G, where holistic treatments direct you to a healthy, sober way of life without substituting one addiction for another. We're a leader in the area of holistic addiction recovery, dual diagnosis, and relapse treatment. With 22 years of experience, we have thousands of success stories. Our staff is all in-house to help you ensure your success the all-natural, holistic way. Don't wait another minute. Call G&G Holistic right now at 800-559-9503. Counselors are standing by to start you on the all-natural road to recovery at G&G Holistic. Call 800-559-9503 or log on to holisticdrugrehab.com. Make the natural choice for addiction treatment, the G&G Holistic Addiction Treatment Program. Success, the all-natural, holistic way.
And we are back with more of That Sci-Fi Show right here on the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. I'm your host, Chris West, and joining me on the phone right now, Bo Brown, half of the creating team that brought you Bob and Carl, Sci-Fi Janitors. Bo, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good.
That's awesome to hear. Now, before we get off into this started, I got to ask this because I've been debating it with a few friends of mine. The recent Bob and Carl Janitors, Sci-Fi Janitors Through Time episodes, the tones that were used, please tell me that that was from the early 90s He-Man movie. That's the same tones they used, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I knew it. I had two or three friends of mine that didn't believe me when we had pointed that out to them. So I now have you, one of the guys that created the show, that I can definitely say the tones from the Sci-Fi Janitors in Time, a very great
series that you did with Bob and Carl, I mean, just, you know, I think the Hitler one has got to be my favorite one. I mean, just...
Yeah, that one's very popular. Actually, there's several musical jokes used in those. There's about three hidden sort of musical jokes for musical people that are in there that we use. If people can discover the rest of them, I invite them to.
So there's more than just the He-Man. Okay, so we're going to have to look out for that. I'll have to do more on my part and actually go through and watch closer and see if I can use my super geek powers that have been bestowed upon me by the radio gods to pick apart Bob and Carl sci-fi janitors. Now, obviously, you got this going on, one of the great, you know, new internet series, and you did a great team up with Galactic Perry and the Galactic Perry's Learning Starship at their PerryCon. Now, how was that for you? It was a blast. I mean, the videos online are just epic. You know, an entire theater for of all period of 1 minute just getting up and going crazy chaos time is pretty funny. I mean, just throwing toilet paper everywhere.
The Brothers Young are really, really talented guys, and it was a lot of fun working with them and going up to their studio where they do Galactic Perry and shooting all of our little bit extra bits that we were going to do with them, and working with their puppet character Gary, and they're really, really nice guys and fun guys to work with.
Yeah, we've had them on the show many times leading up to PerryCon and leading up to the Facebook premiere of Galactic Perry, which I have to say, as a, you know, fandom person, I was totally on my knees laughing constantly for that entire Wednesday over and over and over again, just watching the Galactic Perry skits online. I loved when Bob and Carl went to Fingertown and met the mayor. I think that was one of these better skits.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, we just went up there and sort of made it all up. We didn't really have a plan. But Matt and Jake, the guy who played Bob, and me, and Patrick Freeman, sort of like our producer, video editor guy, he's the one who does all the work, really. We just went up to the studio and just started having ideas and throwing things out there. And Matt and Jake wrote the Goodbye song, which is the airlock song. We sang at the end. He just ended up while we were all standing around, and he does a lot of our, anytime there's any sort of musical stuff and Bob and Carl, that's behind it.
Ah, very, very, very cool. And it's good to see that you guys are teaming up like that, because, you know, there's a, in our market, yeah, there are a lot of independent little things, but that's the problem, is that they're all scattered apart. And by coming together like you've done with Galactic Perry, I mean, you've teamed up to just create a team, you know, a partnership that's just, you know, special in a way that it's two different things, but they complement each other so well.
Well, yeah, when we decided to get involved with them, I mean, it made so much sense that if there's this Galactic Learning Starship out flying around there, that it would have janitors. You know, it was so easy to write them into the situation. You know, and since Bob and Carl already have this sort of idea that they sort of have a sort of everyman janitors that have been everywhere and seen it all, it's really easy to insert them in the situation.
It is. And,
janitor,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, janitors sort of have this, you know, door to the world. You know, no one ever suspects the janitor cleaning up. You know, it's never unusual to have some guy, you know, that's cleaning up fighting, and you know, apparently in the movie always dresses up as a janitor or a paracord to sneak into a high security building.
That's right. If you've ever watched Burn Notice or many other spy shows, you know, disguising yourself as the janitor is a great way to enter and exit a high security building. So if you're planning any, you know, terrorist activities, janitors away.
Not that we condone. We here at the Sci-Fi Janitors do not condone that kind of behavior, of course.
Of course. Nobody condones.
Leave it up to the professionals.
Yes, of course. And we'll have to run the disclaimer after this interview, of course. We have the Chris West disclaimer, where my views and opinions are simply those of my own. So we'll have to run that after the interview here and make sure that everybody knows that we don't really condone terrorism or breaking into high security buildings, and it's a good way to get shot and killed. so don't do it. And it's not that funny. I mean, it's good when Burn Notice does it, and it's good when the sci-fi janitors do it. But when everyday people like you and me do it, TV just doesn't seem to make up to the reality. Somehow there's that...
Well, and some call are legitimate. They're legitimate janitors. They're not pretending to be janitors.
Exactly. So, they can walk into the high-security building and, you know, clean up the place.
But they walk there, right?
Exactly. Now, other than Bob and Carl, with, you know, Bo, you've got your hands in many pies. Tell us about what all is going on in your world.
Okay. I'm very active in the puppetry community in Atlanta, like we talked about when I was on the show last time, stuff with Atlanta and everything. And I have an actual film production company that I'm a part of called the New Puppet Order. And we have just wrapped our third film. And it's called The Wind Up Boy. And it's my writing and directorial debut as one of the team members. And it's going to be premiering in the next couple of weeks at the Center for Puppetry Arts during their XPT program, which is Experimental Puppet Theater. So different artists, you submit an idea for either a live piece or a film, and then you can get funding from the Center for Puppetry Arts to produce your idea, and then it's all collected together and it's presented as a tape of live acts and short film.
Well, it's very, very
cool.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's very, very cool to get, you know, to be part of that. And, you know, as one of the, you know, more creative people that I've had here on the show, you know, not just Bob and Carl, but seeing you guys, you know, interact with fans. I mean, you always try to keep it differently. I remember we were at a NACROCON and you had the giant sewing circle out in front of you. So you just put on the, you know, TV, threw it on as loud as you could, and everybody's having a good time. It's good to see that, you know, you're out there doing other things and that it's actually working for you. Because a lot of people out there nowadays, unfortunately, they try to get involved in a lot of these projects and it just kind of falls by the wayside. And I'm very glad to see that somebody as talented and creative and as just nice a guy as you are is doing so well.
Well, it's really about, you know, finding other people who are really passionate about what they're doing who also have the resources. You know, I'm very, very lucky in the sense that last year when XPT was going on, I was contacted by a guy named Sam Carter, who built some puppets for a short film, which was actually the movie I showed at an AcroCon. It's called Shadow Puppet. And so I got involved with this group, and it's pretty much myself as sort of puppet arm of the group, and then also these other young filmmakers who were interested in making puppet films. They needed a puppet maker, and so now we've decided, you know, we work together so well that we really are sort of sticking together to continue to make these films because we're lucky enough to have found and built a community for ourselves full of really talented, reliable people that we have said, you know, hey, you know, when you work with us and you work really hard and we know that you're passionate about it, then we keep coming back. So we got a lot of the people that we worked with on Shadow Puppets back for The Wind Up Boy. But some, you know, brought in some new people who worked out really well. And we're working on sort of getting our ducks in a row for our fourth film now, too, as well.
Can you give us any details on the upcoming film?
I'm pretty sure right now it's called Infestation. And it's sort of a... comedy, action-packed sort of idea about these guys whose apartment has been infested with puppets, and they go sort of crazy, and they attack the two guys in the apartment. So it's lots of really, like, complicated puppet like choreography that we're going to do. My movie, Wind Up Boy, was the first sort of serious, I mean, not the first serious thing, but it was very serious, and it didn't have any sort of hand and rod puppet style puppets to it. The puppet character in it is more like a Victorian doll, like a life-size Victorian doll, little
okay.
boy character. It's
yeah.
kind of like a mannequin, like the Victorian mannequin kind of thing.
Okay.
So it's very different stylistically and visually from other stuff that we've done, like Shadow Puppets, which was very Muppety, sort of, and very funny and humorous. Monster Companion that was puppety and muppety sort of too, sort of very much like Shadow Puppets in the sense of sort of Muppets, Greg the Bunny type world where humans and puppets sort of live together and interact with one another. And the Wonder Boy was sort of step away from that. It's very, very serious and sad at times. It's also very, very happy and joyful, but definitely a different direction for us to go in. And we've all sort of had our turn at the story writing and directing. Sam directed the first one, and then our director of photography, Daryl Hazelrig, wrote and directed Dark Companion, that I play the main puppet character in. Puppeteer, the main puppet character in that one. The built puppets for him. And then I got to direct and iterate for Wind of Boy, and now we're back to Sam again for Infestation.
Very, very awesome. And, you know, I have to ask you this. Mel Gibson, obviously been in the news a lot in the last few months, is doing his new film where he plays a man who kind of loses his nut and gets a puppet of his own. And do you think that's going to, do good for the puppet scene? Or how do you feel about this? I mean, are you a big fan of Mel Gibson? I mean, obviously, as an actor, yes, he's a great actor. As a human being, not so much.
Yeah, I don't necessarily care for him as a human being. Yeah, it's good to get puppets in mainstream media, sort of, but it's kind of like what we went through with being John Malkovich. Being John Malkovich, it was this big, successful movie, and the main character in the movie was this puppeteer, but he was also kind of the bad guy. The movie didn't actually really present puppeteers as very good people, and I kind of feel like that's going to be similar to what happens in this. It's not that he's really in it, and this was, as far as I understand, he's not really a puppet person. He's just a guy with, mental illness who is using the puppet as therapy. It's not really about puppeteers or about, his relationships with the world. It's just about this guy who is so emotionally stunted that he interacts with the world through this puppet. Does it present puppeteers and puppet makers in a positive light? Not really. We haven't really had that. Even Death to Smoochie kind of counts as another sort of movie in that genre, and the lead character in that had a good heart, I guess.
Edward Norton had a great heart in that, but it was just kind of the, entertainment industry just was...
What it being is, very sick to it did. There's very little out there that sort of represents our industry in a positive light, other than obviously the children's work and things that, the stuff that we produce as, children's shows and adult things that, that involve puppeteers. But as far as puppeteers as protagonists, there's very little out there.
Yeah, I would have to say you're absolutely right on that. Now that I'm trying to rack my brain here, as many movies and TV shows as I've collected over the years, I can't really think of one where, puppeteering is, considered or shown in a good light. Usually it's the bad guy is trying to, use some kind of weird puppetry mind control to control people or...
Yeah, the Puppet Master movies, except Puppet Master 3, which is cool because, the puppets are killing Nazis. That was awesome. But in general, they weren't really, the good guys or anything.
No, they weren't. And we got Bo Brown here on the phone with us, right here on that sci-fi show. We got to kind of close this up here in the next minute or so. So, Bo, obviously, Bob and Carl, Sci-Fi Janitors, you can find it all over Facebook. But tell us where else they can find some of your work. I mean, some of these other movies you've talked about doing, like Shadow Puppets. Where can we look this up? Where can we find this at?
You can find the trailer for Shadow Puppets on YouTube. If you look for Shadow Puppets in the New Puppet Order, that's the name of our puppet production company, is the New Puppet Order. Obviously, you can't just search for Shadow Puppets because you get a whole lot of stuff about actual Shadow Puppets, which is an entire style of puppetry. But if you search for Shadow Puppets in the New Puppet Order, you can find it. And I think the trailer for Dark Companion might be online soon. And then if you're in Atlanta, come to XBT towards the end of May, and then every week, every Wednesday, for a brand new episode of Bob and Carl. Now that our time travel episodes have wrapped up, we're about to start releasing our anime episodes that we filmed for Comic-Con. So we've got a whole lot of funny anime stuff coming out on deck next.
Very, very cool. This is Bo Brown, half of the dynamic duo that created Bob and Carl, Sci-Fi Janitors, and General Puppet Master Tier, joining us right here on That Sci-Fi Show. Bo, thank you for joining us on the show this week.
My pleasure.
All right. Now, as we wrap up this edition of That Sci-Fi Show, we'll be back with more and news and happenings. I'm Chris West, your host. We'll be right back.
And WWNA, Pompano Beach.
Free concert, Rockers in Recovery Memorial Day Weekend Concert, May 28th from 1:30 to 6:30 p.m. Featuring Ricky Bird, guitarist of the NYC Hit Squad and formerly of Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, along with Case himself and bassist of Todd Rundgren and Utopia, Mick Jagger and Celine Dion. Plus three other great bands, Johnny B and the Road Dogs, Keep Coming Back Band, and Rhetoric. Come out and join us at the First Step Sober House Memorial Day Free Concert at 450 Southwest 2nd Street, Pompano Beach. To find out more, go to rockersinrecovery.com or call 877-799-8773.
My name is Robert Gluck. I am a practicing trial lawyer and have been specializing in helping people who have been injured in all types of accidents for the past 20 years. I handle cases throughout the state of Florida. Recently, the legislature in Tallahassee has changed certain laws, and insurance companies are now taking advantage of those changes, resulting in much lower offers on personal injury cases across the board. It is now necessary to file a lawsuit to get a fair settlement on these cases. Before you settle your case for less than what it's worth, let me review it over the phone or in person with you for free. If there is no recovery, there is no fee. Call now for your free consultation at 954-583-8999. That's 954-583-8999.
The hiring of an attorney is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertising. Ask for free written information about qualifications and experience.
Silence calms the mind and rejuvenates the body. Godpillow has been inspiring daily devotions for over 11 years. God pillows are custom made with love and intention. We encourage you to become part of our community. Come visit God Pillow on the World Wide Web at godpillow.com.
This is That Sci-Fi Show with your hosts.
The Olympic shot putter.
He's a miraculous miracle incarnate.
Chris West.
God damn it!
Oh, you can eat my furry ass!
Your authority is not recognized in Fort Kickass.
Ah! It's like you channel fed crazy people.
Sci-Fi AB.
The flavor enhancer.
Get out now or sting, get weird. Your call, Warden.
And we are back with more of That Sci-Fi Show right here on the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. Be sure to check out our website, thatscifishow.com, as well as holisticlifestylesradio.com. You can get all the latest news and happenings of our little network here. And it's such a nice little network. 18 hours of record time right here on 1470 AM WWNN, as well as all over the web through our blog talk and Twitter accounts. And make sure you check those out. And you can always find me on Twitter, CWest92184. So be sure to check that out. Joining me right now, we just had the big premiere of Doctor Who, and there's been a lot of talk about it, a lot of bad talk and a lot of good talk. And I had to bring on my Doctor Who guru. You know, we have the Shift Guru on the network. Well, I got the Doctor Who guru, Joey Reynolds. Joey, thank you for coming on the show.
Yes, it is time once again for Doctor Who guru to appear and to talk about what he saw. And hopefully what he's seen is very, very much what he will see again. Especially where BBC America is concerned, the premiere on BBC America last week was the highest, the biggest night ever in the history of the channel.
That's right, it was.
Yeah, which I think was about 1.6 million viewers. But for cable, that is sweet.
1.6 million viewers is nothing to shy away from. And I mean, I think BBC America, with how they're doing this, by the same day.
Uh-huh.
I mean, remember last season, it was about 2 weeks behind.
That's right.
And, you know, it just kind of made all of America, you know, PO'd on this one, just didn't like it. But, you know, now we're just a few hours difference.
Well, you have to realize one very important thing. 20 years ago, Doctor Who was the redheaded stepchild. Now it is the BBC's flagship. If you look at the logo at the beginning of the show, notice the BBC logo is underneath the word Who. Never happened before. So now, definitely, this is the BBC's shaker moneymaker. That's how important this franchise is to the BBC.
Oh, and, yeah, I would totally agree with that. I mean, just the fact that it's lasted since 1963.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you're talking about the oldest running TV show in existence.
Pretty much, say for like a 89 to about 2005. So that's about a 16-year break.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but the fact is, it's still going to this day. Yeah, we had the nice little break. Well, we did have the movie that happened in between with Paul McGann.
That's right.
And as well as we also did have the audio books are still being made. The regular books are still being made.
Finish, yeah.
Paul McGann did a number of those books during that time. I mean, Doctor Who is just, it's like a zombie.
Oh,
it's not going to die. It's just going to keep coming back from the dead, bigger and badder.
It's the thing that won't die, and you also have to realize one very important thing about this show. Russell T. Davies was asked what was so important about it, and he said it's the greatest show ever. You could really do anything and everything you want. And were this first episode of the season premiere of The Impossible Astronaut, a friend of mine posted on Facebook, best X-Files episode ever. But I must say that that story, The Impossible Astronaut, and of course Day of the Moon, I think is the second part coming up tonight at 9 o'clock Eastern Time on BBC America, essentially it kind of reminds me of The New Adventures. And we talk about during the time that Doctor Who was in the wilderness years, back in the 1990s when Virgin Publishing bought Target. Target did the novelizations of all the TV stories, and they ran out of stories, and they couldn't get Douglas Adams' pen stories, if you will. So they had to more or less try a couple of avenues, so they decided to do some original fiction. And this is where Paul Cornell, with Human Nature and The Family of Blood, and that came out. And Stephen Moffat gave his contributions, and Russell T. Davies and Gary Russell, these guys we all know, they're now part of the Who mythos for today. And this essentially reminded me of A New Adventure. In fact, I wasn't thinking so much about 11th Doctor and Rory and River Song and Amy. I was more or less thinking about the 7th Doctor and Ace good heavens, Murray Summerfield and Christopher Quedge in those respects. Because I could easily see, like, the 7th Doctor bringing everybody in and him talking to the astronaut and him getting shot. And he's about to regenerate and he gets shot again. I'm sorry. Spoilers! But, you know, and then having an earlier, younger version of the 7th Doctor coming in and just, you know, wondering what's going on. Essentially, that to me was one of the best new adventures I've seen for television. But getting back into this, looking forward to the fact that we're not going to have 13 straight weeks. We're going to have 7 episodes the first time out. Wait a few months. Here comes fall into winter. Now we're going to have 6 more episodes, which I've always thought and felt that Doctor Who was best appreciated at the beginning of the new year in January, because the nights are colder, the days are shorter, people are in more. Tea time audiences are always much more. So you can see the show, instead of being 6.1 million when it debuted on BBC One this past Saturday in the UK, could be up now to about 10, 14 million people if they play the cards right.
Yeah, you know, this seems to be the new trend with television. And I'll say that it started back with South Park. Mm-hmm. I believe they were really the first ones to do this, to split the season into two different actual physical seasons. You know, they'll start off like, you know, now we have the summer season, which will be, you know, which started this last Wednesday with The Human Centipede.
Oh, great. Great.
Awesome episode. Yeah. Cannot say any quotes from that one because we don't have a dump button yet.
I love it when Cartman gets his comeuppance, and he gets his comeuppance at the end from the greatest source possible.
Yeah, this is true. He does finally get his comeuppance, and it is nice to see him just sit there and cry about it.
Like
afterwards.
A whiny little bitch.
Exactly. And, I mean, you know, they were really the first ones to do that, to where they broke it up into the summer and fall seasons.
Yeah.
And it seems to be that this is the new trend for television, that everybody is really taking over and doing this. And you know what? I'm not a big fan of it, but I like it. I like it in that, yes, it does extend my series throughout the entire year.
Oh, what's the appetite?
But I don't like it in the fact that it makes me wait a couple months in between storylines.
Yeah, that's understandable. But still, it whets the appetite, and that's the important thing.
Yeah, it does. It's going to keep, you know, it's going to keep it fresh.
Oh, yeah.
It's not going to become to where, you know, you get 6 episodes in and you're bored of it.
It's going to keep the fans guessing, and what a great new group of fans we have. I am one of the ones who was of the age to have hidden behind the sofa when Liz Sladen was Sarah Jane Smith. And obviously, Russell T. Davies was spot on bringing her back for school reunion with the 10th Doctor. If there was one companion that could bridge the classic Who and the current Who and bring in viewers from both those generations, it was definitely Elizabeth Sladen as Sarah Jane Smith. And we've all read the stories. We've all read the obituaries. I can safely say that meeting her in person at conventions as far back as like 8 years ago, the woman never forgot where she came from. She was very gracious. She spent time with you in the autograph lines. I mean, she made you feel like the most important person in the room. And for this OG, having her, you know, just recognize, I mean, she saw my name tag, but she knew I was Joey. And she talked with me and asked me about how my sister was doing, how her kids were doing, and how, you know, they're like trying to get involved in theater and such and giving advice. And you'd never, ever think, I mean, we knew Nick Courtney had some illness by the time he died at 80. And we knew that the Flustered Toy Maker himself, Michael Gough, you know, lived to about 90 or 91. He had a long life. But Liz, she was 63. We thought she was going to live forever and probably usher in, like, the kids of the kids who were watching the Sarah Jane Adventures. And this news hit us like a ton of bricks.
It did. Yeah. It really did. It just took the world by storm. Nobody saw this coming. And it was a terrible tragedy for Liz Sladen to be taken from us by cancer. It's just, you know, like you said, she was one of these people. You know, there are very few. You go to these conventions and it's usually, give me your $20, mm-hmm. here's your piece of paper, get the hell out of my line.
Very much. Yeah.
And she was one of the really true genuine people that it didn't matter. She would stay late.
Uh-huh.
You know, the doors were closed, but she still had a line. You know, like Summer Glau at Dragon Con last year.
Right.
Just another person like this where, you know, just a generally great person that knows, all right, without these people, without these fans, I have nothing. Because
exactly.
These guys watching is what pays my bills.
Exactly. And Liz knew that not just with the generation who grew up hiding behind the sofa when she was with John Pertwee that following year, and Tom Baker those first 2.5 years, but also with the generation who also kind of watched with their grown-up parents, and also experiencing her series of adventures with the Sarah Jane Adventures on CBBC. And I can safely say that even though they did the first half of the 12 episode production block, one of the three stories in that first production block was the final story. So thankfully there could be at least some closure. They had to take a break, and unfortunately she went in the hospital, and obviously we know the end result. But I can safely say this: her legacy will continue, and as long as the fans continue to think of her, and obviously the. Once again, just proof positive of the popularity of this program, especially when you have all the major news sources, once again, talking about Sarah Jane, the impact of the character, and Liz Sladen, the impact of the actress. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I've said this in front of British actors. American actors act entitled. Well, most of them anyway. British actors, most all of them, act grateful because of the fact that they were classically trained. And they know that the next job may not be what they want, but they'll take it, hopefully in acting, maybe something else. But obviously they're in high competition. And Liz kept herself in great shape. Was very much a dancer at heart at the beginning of her career. And God bless her. I remember the first time I saw her, I think like the Sunday night at a convention in Boston, God bless her, she was wearing red fishnet stockings. I mean, enough to make the fanboys go, oh. But I'll tell you what, she still looked great for a woman of her age. And she leaves behind not just her husband, Brian, of about 40 years, but also a daughter she had later in life, Sadie, who's an actress and a dancer in her own right, graduated from university. I think she's about 26 years old. And she's filling the love right now of many people involved, not just the fans, but also the folks who worked with her. And I know she also got to be close friends with her. And she also did some work with her mom as well. Big Finish Productions did a series of adventures featuring Sarah Jane Smith. But one of the sad things about this world of Doctor Who, I have nothing against Tom Baker. I love him. But Tom Baker is the kind of guy where it's like, Tom, you want to do this? And it takes him about 5 years to think it over.
Unfortunately, we're doing the same with Bill Murray right now in the whole Ghostbusters 3 skit. But,
let me just tell this to the fans. Tom signed an arrangement with Big Finish Productions, and he's did a number of stories with Louise Jameson as Leela, Fourth Doctor and Leela, together again. And four stories were already written and commissioned with the Fourth Doctor and Sarah Jane, and it would have been absolutely great, but Tom is Tom. You know how he is. It's like, he didn't want to come back to do the Five Doctors because it felt been so short after he left Doctor Who. And then he just realized, well, I've done a lot of it, you know. And I figured maybe if I had like about 30 years between appearances, maybe people would miss me just a bit. And I understand where you're coming from, but still, it's just what could have been. Just hearing again Sarah Jane with Tom Baker's
voice. Yeah, and unfortunately, none of us are, you know, you have a crystal ball that lets us see the future, to see these things. And you know what? As much as it would have been great to have seen that happen, and it is just unfortunate with Liz's passing that it won't happen now. But you know, maybe this might be the catalyst that sparks the fire under Tom's butt and gets him moving and recording again.
Well, he's born 34, so he ain't getting any younger either.
Exactly.
But he was surprised as well about Liz's passing, and wrote a very flowery, loving tribute. And we could keep talking about her, but we have many things to do. I will say that there is some fundraising on her behalf and her memory for cancer research in the UK. They've already well passed the goal and then some. But if you wish to make a donation to the American Cancer Society, we don't know if specifically she died of breast cancer, but if you feel also to make a donation, her name, to the Susan Komen Foundation as well, please do. But anyways, just to let you know and keep the legacy of Liz Sykin going on. And if you happen to have any kids around who haven't seen Doctor Who, start them off with the Fourth Doctor and Sarah Jane. You'll thank yourself in the end for it.
All right. Well, this has been That Sci-Fi Show right here on the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. We've been talking Doctor Who with our Doctor Who guru, Joey. Joey, thank you for coming on the show and talking with us this week and going over all the greatness that is Doctor Who. This last episode, The Impossible Astronaut. Later tonight, we got
Day of the Moon.
The Day of the Moon. That's right.
9 o'clock Eastern. The Impossible Astronaut repeated at 8 o'clock on BBC America. So the first season premiere repeated at 8. The fresh new Doctor Who at 9 o'clock, followed by The Doctor in America at 10 o'clock, a BBC America exclusive. Apparently, it's just about how they got all the, production work done when they were filming out in Utah.
Well, actually, funny story about that before we wrap up here.
Yeah.
They actually had people just randomly in, backpacks, walking through the desert area.
Oh,
they knew they were in Utah, but they didn't know where.
Yeah.
Just out of nowhere, I was reading that they're just, they had the camera set up on the horizon, and then there comes through the horizon, it's just like 30 to 40 people, all fans with maps looking around going, there it is, go, Matt, sign this.
Yeah.
Just out of nowhere, they thought they were in the remote Utah desert, no one's around.
Yeah.
Not in America, baby. We will find you.
Oh, we will. We will. And Craig Ferguson's leading the way.
Exactly. All right, this has been That Sci-Fi Show right here on the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. When we get back from break, we're going to have on Brandon McCormick, who was the writer-director of Blood on My Name from Whitestone Productions, is going to be joining us. Stay tuned for more of That Sci-Fi Show right here on the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network, and be sure to check out our websites. ThatSciFiShow.com as well as HolisticLifestylesRadio.com. We're all over the web, baby. We'll be back with more of That Sci-Fi Show.
Attention, the 4th Annual 12-Step Music Fest is coming November 3rd through the 6th in Sugarloaf Key, Florida. 4 days of music and fun with 12 musical acts along with the Rockers in Recovery Supergroup featuring Ricky Bird, guitarist formerly of Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, Liberty DeVito, formerly of Billy Joel, Woody Geisman of the Del Fuegos, Kason Sultan of Todd Rundgren and Utopia, Christine Ullman of the Saturday Night Live Band, and four more to be announced by September. Find out more about this sober Woodstock in Sugarloaf Key by joining rockersinrecovery.com or by calling 877-799-8773.
My name is John Hollis, and of course I'm with Holistic Lifestyles Radio, and we want to talk about Crossroads of Antigua, helping people take the first step towards change. Do you know somebody struggling with addiction to alcohol, prescription medication, or other drugs? Crossroads Center of Antigua provides comprehensive detoxification treatment and continuing care services within a holistic body, mind, and spirit approach to recovery. Founded by Mr. Clapton, Eric Clapton, Crossroads Center is recognized as one of the top 10 international programs for addiction services. Crossroads provides quality, affordable care for individuals and their families. Call now for a free, confidential assessment and speak with one of course, their admission counselors. Give them a call at 877-318-8834 or check out the website at crossroadsantigua.org. And remember, recovery is possible and is often life-saving.
Let me tell you about the Sound Pillow. Sound Pillow helps many people in early addiction recovery who suffer from stress, anxiety, fear, and long sleepless nights to get a comfortable night's sleep by providing a calming and soothing feeling for the mind's everyday distractions. Sound Pillow allows the mind to shut down, the body to relax, and the spirit to heal. Go online to soundpillow.com. That's soundpillow.com. And while you're there, check out the many endorsements from people and addiction treatment centers using the Sound Pillow. Don't lose another night's sleep. Call toll-free today, 877-846-6488. That's 877-846-6488. And let the healing begin. Go online to soundpillow.com. That's www.soundpillow.com.
And we are back with more of That Sci-Fi Show right here on the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. I am your host, Chris West, joined always by the lovely Amy Bell, Sci-Fi Amy.
Thank you.
And joining us on the phone, our other co-host, who is having a little bit of too much of a good time over at the Hard Rock there in Orlando, Brian is on the phone. Brian, what's up, brother?
I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm not having too much fun at all.
You need to come down here.
You always have too much fun. You're just the kind of
bring
guy
the
that
fun
always
here.
Has like a little too much fun. But you know what? That's okay with us because we're geeks. We like to have too much fun because if
right.
not, we'd be in front of laptops all day. So, Brian, I got to ask
yeah,
before.
It is a blast out here today. The weather is perfect. There's not a cloud in the sky.
It's nice up here at Boca. It's not so great down in Miami. It's been raining all day down there.
Really?
But we're luckily we're still up in, you know, we're north of Fort Lauderdale, so we don't get none of that. We get just sunshine right near next to the beach.
That's right.
So, Brian, I got to ask before we get to our next guest who we got holding on the line, Ian Fidel, the author of the Breathing Space, book one of the Exodus trilogy. Last week, Doctor Who premiered. Your thoughts on it?
Oh, my God, it was amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. Too many people have bad-mouthed this episode, and you know what?
No. It's one of those episodes. You know, the only thing I had, the only problem I have with it is that I have to wait a week to find out what happened.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a two-parter episode.
I actually
you
considered
can't expect the whole story
not watching
one.
It and waiting till tonight to watch them both back-to-back, but I just couldn't wait anymore.
Oh,
I waited
Jesus.
One day, Sunday, and then I was like, no, I got to watch it.
Yeah,
can't help it.
Funny, me and my roommates, we all watched together, so it was one of those things, we downloaded it, and it was sitting in our house, and our other roommate called us and said, hey, I'm going to be late. So we were like, okay, how late? He's like, I'm not going to go home until like 9. We were like,
That's too late, bro.
So we literally started it, and he walked in the door, and he was like, you better stop right now. I know what you're doing.
It's always a good time, you know, screwing with the roommates a little bit, you know, especially with the Doctor Who viewing parties. Hey, if you're not on time, you know what? That's your problem, buddy.
That's right.
Yeah, right. But, I mean, it was a great episode, and you can't look at it as just, you know, as a standalone episode. It's one of those things where stuff develops over the two episodes.
Exactly. It's a two-parter episode. You're not going to get the full story. You're not going to understand it. And, of course, with Doctor Who, they're not going to give you the big twist in the first one. You're going to have to wait to find out, you know, well, obviously we had the whole Amy's pregnant and the astronaut is the kid.
Right.
So we got to figure out what's going on with
the
that.
The astronaut is the kid. And I'm like, how? What in the world? How?
How will be answered later tonight, 8 p.m. or 9 p.m. right here on BBC America for those of you that don't have access to the Internet or know of the secret ways of getting it from BBC early like the rest of us. And before we go to our next guest here, we got Ian Fidel on, like I said, online. He's the author of the Breathing Space, book one of the Exodus trilogy. I just want to give a shout-out to a good friend of mine, Roger Barnett, on Facebook, a good friend of the show. He listens in every week. And, you know, we had all these terrible, you know, E5 tornadoes, which are more devastating than a hurricane. So those of you in the South Florida area here who know how bad hurricanes are, well, Alabama got slammed hard. And if you go to jamiechambers.net, you can donate money to help, you know, real victims that got their houses destroyed, real people in Atlanta. It's not going to be one of these charities where you donate, you know, $100 and $5 makes it to the actual, you know, place. You know, your money's going to go there. jamiechambers.net, be sure to check it out. Help these people out, because when something terrible happens to you, somebody's going to come and help you out. So do the right thing, and jamiechambers.net, help Alabama storm victims, and you know what? It's just a good thing to do. And with that, let's go ahead and get on our guest, Ian Fidel, author of Breathing Space, book one of the Exodus trilogy. Ian, how are you doing today?
Doing great, doing great. Thanks for having me on the show, everybody.
Oh, it's a pleasure. We love having authors on the show.
Yes, glad to have you.
You know, I just have one small request, actually. I really would appreciate it if you guys get some of that beautiful Florida weather up north here in New York, because we had a good couple of days, but overall it's been a lousy spring.
Aw.
Well, you know, you're always welcome to come down here into South Florida, and when you do come down here, we'll have you as an in-studio guest and not over the phone, and we can have, you know, have you for a whole hour.
Now, that sounds like a plan. Any excuse to get it to Florida, I'm there.
It's only a three-hour plane ride.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
So, Ian, tell me about the book, Breathing Space. What's going on? What's this book about? You know, tell me about it. Give me the full synopsis, as it were.
Sure, absolutely. Well, Breathing Space basically takes place in the year 2095. It deals with modern-day ecological issues, but amplified about tenfold. If you watch the news or read the newspapers, you'll notice there's an increase in tsunamis, earthquakes, man-made disasters such as the oil spills and the tornadoes we just had in the South just recently. So at times my readers have actually called me a visionary, and some think I have little gray aliens whispering in my ear about future events. But in the book, there are some people who are so affected by Earth's atmosphere that they're forced to wear oxygen masks during the day. And all of the above reasons was, but the Third World War is why the U.S. actually took the lead, and they created a space station that sent man-made probes out to distant planets that actually travel faster than light. And the story really focuses on the main character, which is John Lewis. He was a veteran of the Third World War, and he's respected by his crew, but he's also a man who's plagued by memories of Earth and some of the loved ones he lost during the Third World War. And just to give you a brief idea and wrap it all up, after about 17 years, one of the faster-than-U.S. light probes discovers a planet teeming with elephantoids and other animals. But the biggest surprise is when the probe captures some video of enormous pyramids and the primitive creators of those pyramids. The pyramids similar to those of Egypt, actually. So the good news is that the planet's atmosphere is able to support human life, because recent science researchers have discovered that within a matter of decades, a century at most, Earth will no longer be habitable, and the smaller colonies we have on the nearby planets aren't really self-sufficient, and they can't support human life. But the bad news about the new planet is that there's a 0.02 untraceable element found in the planet's atmosphere, and basically the planet was checking out fine until it popped up on the radar screen. So the United States decided to form a team and come to the planet and, you know, see if mankind can live there, actually, for at least 6 month time period. And the adventure really begins when the team does make it to the planet. And there's everything from great giant elephant hunts and encounters with ferocious beasts. They take trips on great oceans and form an alliance with the primitive natives. And the exciting part is also that they not only encounter the primitive natives, but they make contact with the pyramid, the people who instructed them how to build the pyramids, which were the Greys. They reveal a lot about man's past and future, which doesn't look so bright. But you'll have to read, I guess, the rest of the book to figure out what the Greys have to say.
Well, you know what? It's definitely a book that I know I'm going to go out and look for. And before we get more into this, go ahead and tell people where they can get their copy of the book. I mean, is it on Amazon?
Absolutely. Well, you can get copies from Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com, but I'm not able to autograph those unless I can arrange an autograph signing in that area. But if they'd like, they could order from my website, which is IanFidel, FYDELL, ExodusTrilogy.com. And those books come from my inventory, so I can actually autograph them, personalize them, and mail them out. But whatever everyone feels comfortable with, it's fine with me. I just really want to get the buzz, the word out. I'm going to be at Book Expo America and Comic-Con, which are going to be both in New York City at the Jacob Javits Center. So I'm really trying to get this known nationwide, maybe even worldwide, before I get started on the next book.
Well, there you go. That's the way you got to do it. And you know what? You can always go to that scifishow.com. And up on our weekly blog, we actually have Ian Fidel, ExodusTrilogy.com on there. So if you're, you know, having a hard time trying to find it, just go to thatscifishow.com, look at our main blog right there on the first page, and it's right there toward the bottom. Just go ahead and click the link, and it'll send you right there. You can get your autographed copy from the man himself, Ian Fidel, author of Breathing Space, book one of the Exodus Trilogy. Now, Ian, as an author, you know, and I try to ask this of every author I have on the show, what, you know, creative problems did you have going from the writing stage to editing and publishing? I mean, you know, there's always some kind of headbutting with the editor, something going on like that. Did you have that in your experience, or are you one of the rare guys that, you know, went to the publisher, saw this, they just loved it, and they picked it up right away, and it was just a smooth process? How was it for you?
Well, nothing ever was very smooth in life, but being the father of three children, I was very consumed with my children, and I really had a hard time trying to find the time to read. But what I would do is go downstairs at night when everybody was fast asleep, and really from 11 o'clock at night till sometimes 3 or 4 in the morning, just type away. And it's something that I really, really enjoyed doing, and the creative part really wasn't so much a problem. And to tell you the truth, the only problem I might have had was finding the right publisher. I did happen to hook up with Team Legwork. They're my publishers, and they've done a great job. They've given me free rein, input on the cover, dealing with the editors. So, you know, just went until I finally found the right person to make my dream become a reality. That's pretty much was the only bump in the road. But like I said, I can't complain too much. It was a pretty good process overall.
Well, you know, that's always, you know, a good thing, you know, to have a nice, easy process, especially when you're writing like that, because, you know, the last thing you want to have is a publisher come in and say, well, I like this, you know, aspect of the book, but the rest of this has got to go rewrite it.
Absolutely right. They were great to deal with. We have Janet and Yvonne over at Team Legwork. They held my hand basically through the whole process, and they helped me get into these book signings that I've been doing, and they've also helped me find information on how to get into these book awards, which I'm currently waiting to hear back from the Indie Book Awards. It's the most recent one that I should be hearing back soon.
Well, that's awesome, and hopefully, you know, you get nominated for an award. I haven't read the book yet. I haven't gotten my copy, and hopefully be able to get one here soon. And, you know, definitely I will get my copy, and, you know, from Ian Fidel, ExodusTrilogy.com, so I can get a signed copy.
Absolutely.
You know, if you're going to go, if that's what, you know, if you're going to get a book, I mean, yeah, anybody can go to Amazon and just get the book, but to get a personalized signed copy straight from the web, you know, there's not a lot of people that would do that. And I have to actually, you know, credit you for that. That's a brilliant move on your part.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Yeah, you know, I try to look at it as I'm just an average guy. I'm not a rocket scientist or anything, but I want to try and connect with as many people as possible. If that makes the book, you know, a little more well-known and people mention that, then whatever it takes is fine with me. I'm also trying to hook up with eco-friendly type of corporations to get on their websites where, you know, I could talk and working out a deal with them where I would donate a portion of the proceeds from the book to that charity, and in return, if, you know, they could give me the exposure that I'm looking for.
You know, and that's also another great cause to get involved in. You know, and I, you know, once again, I have to credit you. That is a brilliant move on your part. And you know what? It's also, you know, a, you know, really nice move on your part, because most people nowadays, you know, period, just don't want to give up any extra money, you know, and there's a lot of things going on right now. Like, you know, it's, as you pointed out, you know, in the beginning of this interview, you know, we've got the tsunami that just happened in Japan, or the tsunami and the earthquake over in Japan,
We've had, you know, the tornadoes rip apart, you know, Alabama, Georgia, and just nasty storm, nasty, you know, weather. Everything seems to be falling apart, and you know what? Everybody could use a little help right now.
Absolutely, and that's, you know, that's what I'm looking to do, give back. And really, when I started this whole process, it really wasn't about just selling millions of copies of books. It was more about fulfilling a dream and something that I always wanted to have done. And really, my ultimate goal one day would be to have the pages of Breathing Space leap onto the silver screen and be able to witness this, go to the movies with my children and watch this. But I got to take one foot at a time, and I can't run before I learn how to walk. So I'm going to, you know, take my time right after Book Expo America, which is May 24th at the Javits Center. I'm going to be really starting to get into book two. I have books two and three already outlined, and I know what I want to happen in the books, and I'm very excited to show everybody the twists and turns that are going to be along the way, because I'm a realist, and you know, I've seen some of the movies out there, like Signs, say, for example, where we defeat these super advanced aliens by just pouring a little bit of water on them, and then they die off. But
Yeah. Really,
I think if we met these super intelligent beings that could travel across the country, they would figure out what their weaknesses are on this planet. So really, I think what we would need is some help from other beings. And that being said, you know, along the rest of the trilogy, we'll be meeting other, you know, alien beings, some friendly and unfortunately some not so friendly. So I'm very excited to get started on book two.
Well, you need conflict. I mean, if everybody was happy with each other, it would be kind of boring at the end of the day, don't you think?
Absolutely. I love throwing that little curveball at everybody just when they think they know what's happening. And even in book one, there's a big surprise twist at the end.
Ooh, very nice. Ian Fidel is on the phone with us right now, author of Breathing Space, book one of the Exodus trilogy. Now, Ian, you said this was a lifelong dream of yours to write a book. I mean, how did you do this? How did you get into it to where you finally just sat down and said, I'm going to do it, I'm going to write this book? Obviously, you're a family man, you're a working man, you got the kids, you got work. How did you, you know, just get it all done?
Well, to be honest with you, my love for science fiction really started way back when I was about 7 years old, and my parents took me to see a movie that you might know called Star Wars.
I remember little-known film.
Yeah, right.
And looking up at the stars and just wondering, was there a Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader out there, you know, battling to control the universe, good versus evil and all of that? So basically, I ever since that age, I pretty much started getting into writing fiction, science fiction, and I was doing really well in junior high school with creative writing classes, and my teacher actually encouraged me to keep going with it. But then along the way, of course, life happens, and I met my wife, and my priorities came before I got married to get a good job, and then I went from, you know, bounced around a few different careers. And then unfortunately, one day at my last job I had, I got hit in the back from behind by a heavy container, and it pretty much made me become Mr. Mom. Then I had to adapt to fatherhood, and I was the stay-at-home father taking care of all the children. And that's like when I said I had to find my hours when I can write. And you know, there were times where I would just keep going with the flow. It'll, you know, it would be 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I didn't want to stop, but I knew I had to wake up the next day to take care of the little ones. So luckily, they're at an age now where they're a little bit older and they're more understanding. So they really are enjoying, you know, seeing me live my dream. And I'm trying to actually let them know, too, to follow your dream and really push forward. Even if there's obstacles in your way, just take one step at a time and anything can be accomplished.
You know, and that is a great message to send out to everybody, especially not just your children, but everybody out there. You know, it does take a little bit of time and it takes a lot of patience.
Absolutely.
And it takes, you know, it is blood, sweat, and tears in order to, you know, you want your dream out there, you're going to have to work for it. And you know what, it's just, I can tell you're such a great guy. I've had you on the phone for about, you know, 10, 15 minutes now, and you know what, you're just a really nice guy, and I'm so happy to see that this is really going great for you.
Put you on hold and let you talk to my wife? No, I'm only kidding. She knows. So, I mean, we have a great relationship, and you know what, you ever since I've been in contact with, you know, everyone over there at the show, everyone over there has been just as great. So I really do appreciate everything.
Yeah, we try to. You know what? You know, and like I said, everybody could use a little help, and you know, if I could use this show to help promote others in the sci-fi, you know, that's why I created that sci-fi show. Is that, you know, for this exact purpose, is so that we can kind of go out and, you know, promote within our industry. Because really, you know, unless you go to the conventions, you know, every single convention,
right,
you're not really seeing what's going on out there.
Exactly. So you need more. We need more of this. We need more intercommunication between us geeks. I mean, we own the internet, for Christ's sake, people.
Right,
we're geeks.
Exactly. Let's rise up and everyone check out a copy of The Breeding Space. And you know what? We'll hopefully we'll spread it worldwide, this thing.
That's right. That's what we're going to do. We're going to leave that link up on our website. So if you go to thatscifishow.com, we're going to have the link up for Ian Fidel's ExodusTrilogy.com, where you can get a signed copy of the book from Mr. Ian Fidel himself. And, Ian, I just wanted to thank you once again for coming on the program, and, you know, loved helping you out and promoting the book, and I can't wait to get my copy and read through it.
I really appreciate you having me on the show. You guys, like I said, have been great, and hopefully we'll speak again soon when we could talk a little bit more about book two.
Excellent.
Awesome.
I look forward to it.
Thank you very much. And there's also, on the link, there's also information about upcoming events and everything about Book Expo America. So if you have any questions, anyone, they can feel free to email me as well.
And there you go. You can email the man directly. Not a lot of people will do that. Usually they send you straight to the, you know, somebody at the publishing company who gets back to you 5 weeks after the event.
Exactly. I'm a people person. So anyone needs to talk, feel free to email me. I'll get right back to you.
Very excellent. This was Ian Fidel, author of Breathing Space, book one of the Exodus Trilogy. Thank you once again for joining us on the show, and hopefully we will get you on as soon as you get book two out.
Absolutely. I look forward to it. Maybe it will be an in-person studio, in-person interview this time.
Excellent.
Yeah,
we'd
be
love to have you in studio anytime.
Absolutely.
You're down here in South Florida.
Excellent, excellent idea. I'll definitely keep that in the back of my mind.
All right. Thank you for joining us once again. I am Chris West right here on That Sci-Fi Show. We're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show. We've got to finish up and get out of here for the next show, and we also got to finish downloading our episode of Doctor Who so we can go watch it. So as we take this break, be sure to stay tuned, and also be sure to check us out tomorrow night as Rockers in Recovery will be going live from 7 to midnight right here on the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. And you can always check us out at holisticlifestylesradio.com as well as thatscifishow.com. for all the latest news and happenings. And you know what? We got a big Memorial Day concert coming up, and you know, it's another free concert, Amy.
Oh, right.
Yeah, we're going to be down
awesome.
At the First Step Sober House Memorial Day weekend. Well, we won't be.
Well, we won't be, but everybody else
will
be
up in
Orlando. At
so,
Mayhem.
That's right.
Yes.
And we're hoping to get our boy Petey on here in the next week or so we can have him talk about it. So when we get back from this break, we'll have more of That Sci-Fi Show as we wrap up.
My name is Robert Gluck. I am a practicing trial lawyer and have been specializing in helping people who have been injured in all types of accidents for the past 20 years. I handle cases throughout the state of Florida. Recently, the legislature in Tallahassee has changed certain laws, and insurance companies are now taking advantage of those changes, resulting in much lower offers on personal injury cases across the board. It is now necessary to file a lawsuit to get a fair settlement on these cases. Before you settle your case for less than what it's worth, let me review it over the phone or in person with you for free. If there is no recovery, there is no fee. Call now for your free consultation at 954-583-8999. That's 954-583-8999.
The hiring of an attorney is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertising. Ask for free written information about qualifications and experience.
My name is John Hollis, and of course I'm with Holistic Lifestyles Radio, and we want to talk about Crossroads of Antigua, helping people take the first step towards change. Do you know somebody struggling with addiction to alcohol, prescription medication, or other drugs? Crossroads Center of Antigua provides comprehensive detoxification, treatment, and continuing care services within a holistic body, mind, and spirit approach to recovery. Founded by Eric Clapton, Crossroads Center is recognized as one of the top 10 international programs for addiction services. Crossroads provides quality, affordable care for individuals and their families. Call now for a free, confidential assessment and speak with one of course, their admission counselors. Give them a call at 877-318-8834 or check out the website at crossroadsantigua.org. And remember, recovery is possible and is often life-saving.
And we are back with more of That Sci-Fi Show right here on the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. I am your host, Chris West. Joining us on the phone is our co-host, Brian, and we also have the lovely Amy Bell in studio with us. Now, Brian, we were talking Doctor Who before we did the interview here. You know, what are your expectations for tonight? What do you think is going to happen?
Oh, man. Well, me and my roommates were discussing it. If you pay attention, the thing they found is the same thing from the episode where he lost his memory, where he was renting out the flat upstairs.
Well, he didn't lose his memory. He got stuck in the the TARDIS got thrown through the loop every time that thing tried to take off.
Yeah.
It's a very similar thing. Yes, it's another ship. And because if you remember at the end of that episode, that ship imploded.
Yeah.
Right.
So I don't know, but what I'm thinking is that, you know, they've already confirmed it's some sort of memory thing.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure what's going to happen is we're going to find out they've been here the entire time.
Well, I think that is the case because, I mean, the big clip thing was for, Matt Smith, the line from the clip was we're not fighting an alien invasion. We're fighting a revolution.
Yeah, we're leading a revolution. Yeah.
And, I mean, with Riversong finding out, these tunnels haven't been, they're not just been here recently. They've been here for a long time.
Yeah, all over the earth. Yeah.
Yeah, the tunnels go all over the earth. So, you know what? I think that's what it's going to be. I think, we're going to see, we saw the inside of their ship, and we're now going to see the big fight. There's another trailer that came out a few days ago where you see Riversong firing the gun and the alien shooting lightning at her, and the doctor's behind her pointing his, sonic screwdriver. And I'm really interested to see that scene, to see what he does with a sonic screwdriver in, a firefight.
Well, you know what really pissed me off was when River told Rory to go see if, anybody was coming, and he looks out and he sees them. Rather than go, oh, my God, yes, he turns around to tell her, like he was calm. They're all standing right there. I would have just go, oh, my God, yeah, they're all over the place.
Yeah, I would have slammed the door shut as fast as I could on that.
I would have backed up. Yeah, I would have said it and backed up and slammed the door.
Yeah.
But, no, he turns his head to say calmly, no, there's nothing there.
Well, that's the thing. Is once you look away.
Once you turn your head.
Robot. How is he?
Well, no.
No, he's not a robot.
He's not a robot.
No.
Because when they did the Big Bang, everything went back to the original timeline.
Right.
So he's no longer the automaton.
Yes.
He's no longer the living plastic. Or else he'd have the gun in his hand, which would, help
him
firefight. Yeah,
he would have just stopped
him. I mean, seriously, that would have just been bam, bam, bam. No, there's nobody outside. Let's go.
Do this.
I think it's going to be a great episode. Like I said, for all those that badmouthed it, you got to remember it is a two-part episode, and this is going to be the part that explains everything. This is going to be the part that has all the action, all the storyline.
Yeah.
It's like the first comic book. Whenever you get issue number one, it's not always the most exciting storyline. No, it's just setting it up for when the exciting stuff happens.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys, I didn't hear what he said in the bathroom. The alien guy said to her why she goes, you didn't have to kill her. And then he said, I guess he said why. Did you
hear
why?
No. He said her name was Joy. Your name is Amelia.
Right. But
you must tell the doctor what he needs to know and what he can't know.
No, but he said to her, she said to him, why did you kill her? She doesn't remember you. Why did you have to kill her?
And he said Joy.
Yeah, he said her name was Joy.
Said?
Yeah, that's what he said. That's for word for word what I just said.
Oh, okay. I thought he answered her and said why.
No, he said her name was Joy. Your name is Amelia. You must tell the doctor what he must know and what he can never know.
Right. Okay. So I did hear that. I guess I thought I missed something.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird little, turn-off thing, weird there. But you know what? I'm really interested to see, because it is a question. How do you fight something that you forget about the moment you stop looking at it?
Yeah. And she closed her cell phone. Why did she do that?
Well, she took the picture.
She took the picture, and then she closed the cell phone. She should have held it in her hand and not closed it. So when she walked out, she would have looked at her phone and saw the picture.
You know why?
Why?
Because it's not written in the story. That's why.
Well, that annoys me when they do stuff like that. I'm like, darn it!
I know, but you got to think about it. If everybody in TV and movies followed common sense, none of these
weird adventures
would happen.
I know. What can I say? I'm a sci-fi geek, and we analyze everything.
This is true. We do analyze everything. And let's see. Last news story of the day here. Ah, yes, that's right. We have final news on who the Superman villain is going to be in Zack Snyder's Superman. Brian, have you heard anything about this yet?
I have not.
Well, it looks like they're going to go ahead, and they've got German actors coming on, and I know I'm going to pr- pronounce this horribly because this is a weird spelled name.
And Chris can't say anybody's name anyway.
Angie Trey, who's going to be along Dennis Quaid and Ben Foster in Pandorum. She was in that movie. But she's going to play General Zod's female companion, Flora Tarrour.
Oh, snap.
Yes. Well, they're not going to have General Zod. They're just going to have her.
Oh.
So the question is...
opens it up so they can, you know, they can do another one and be like, oh, look, there's Zod coming in.
Well, you know, I would think a nice little storyline would be, obviously, with the, you know, I'm not a huge Superman comic fan, so feel free to shoot holes in my storyline here. But, you know, I think with the whole, it was Jor-El that locked away, you know, Zod in the first place, it's probably going to be one of those, well, I can't kill Jor-El, so I'm going to kill you, Kal-El.
Yeah, well, that's what it always is with him.
Yeah, it's like, I can't get to your father for screwing things up because his planet blew up and you're the only one left, so we're just going to take it out on you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, you know what? This is one of the reasons I really never liked Superman. I mean, I like Justice League Superman.
I'm sorry, I love Smallville.
All right, Smallville aside.
Next week. Oh, man.
What?
What's going on next week?
Next week's the finale.
That's right.
No, I thought it was the 18th.
I'm pretty sure it's next week.
It's next week?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Really?
I remember reading it.
Now, you think they'll get him to fly?
That's the big
question. You come on.
Well, see, here's my prediction. The last scene you're going to see, the last thing from the show, is going to be him in the tights flying away from Metropolis.
Hmm.
Or flying through Metropolis. It's going to be one of those scenes.
I can see that.
You know what? I could definitely see that.
Yeah.
As a good ending.
That's a good ending. That would be a good ending.
And you'll fly into the camera and be like, oh, what an awesome shot.
You know what would be even cooler? So they show him flying up to the, you know, the middle of his Fortress of Solitude up there in the, you know, the Arctic.
Well,
the North Pole.
They showed a screenshot.
Oh, yeah?
Of he's already got the costume.
Well, yeah, it's at the Fortress.
Yeah, it's at the Fortress.
Oh, okay, so he's already been to the Fortress. I haven't watched the last season
yet. Yeah, he's been to the Fortress many times.
Okay, I haven't watched the last, like, two seasons.
Yeah, you don't even watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know what?
I'm going to miss my weekly Tom Welling viewing.
So, Brian, I got to ask you.
I was happy they brought in Booster Gold and Blue Beetle. That was awesome.
Yes, that was very cool.
Booster Gold is another
one of the Justice League, you know, B members that needs more time.
I thought he was pretty cool.
Hilarious. I always love when he's on, because every time he's on there, you're just like,
yeah. So I got to ask you, we got a couple minutes here before we wrap up here, Brian. What's your idea here on Kevin Costner and Diane Lane playing Ma and Pa Kent? Do you think it's going to be good, or do you think, you know, it's kind of...
I think it'll be good.
You know, not going to be so good, you know, with a younger, hipper, sexier, as the quote here in the article reads, the sexy version of the Kents.
How is Kevin Costner a younger, sexier version?
I know, he's not
well, you
young.
Remember in the original movie...
What, he's in his
40s. In the original comics, Ma and Pa Kent were older people.
Well,
they were
what,
in their
like
60s, 70s.
Okay, but they're not... Young would be, you know, like 30.
Well, compared to them, they're young.
Well...
They're
not really. They're
Kevin
just.
Costner's almost 60 now, isn't he?
No.
I think he's in his early 50s.
Is he?
Yeah, I don't know. IMDb him. But
I
you
am.
Know, we actually we'll find that out and we will tell you.
He
next
was born
week.
In 1955. So that makes him in his 50s.
Yeah, told you. Called it.
he was born in 1955. Let me see. That's 45. 56 years old.
So 56. So, yeah.
He's not that young.
He's not that young.
He just looks young.
Yeah.
Hey, I wouldn't throw him out of bed.
Of course not. And on that note, we're going to go ahead and wrap up this edition of That Sci-Fi Show right here on the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Network. Be sure to check out our website, thatscifishow.com, where you can hear a replay of this right now. That's right. It's up on the past show section, so be sure to check it out. With our guest Ian Fidel and our other guest, Brian Brandon.
Brandon.
Brandon, before I screw it up. Brandon McCormick from Whitestone Films. So go ahead and take us out. We'll be back next week.
The preceding program is a Rockers in Recovery radio production. Rights to this program are the sole rights of Rockers in Recovery Radio, Incorporated. Rebroadcast of this program in any form without express written consent is prohibited.
Victor Ray, this is Scorpion 23, traveling west on MSR Vernon. For Victor, 16 packs, request MSR status over. Roger, Scorpion 23, all MSRs and AORS test 24 hours, 3 IEDs on MSR Vernon.
There will always be casualties. And for our wounded warriors, coming home can sometimes be a battle in itself. American troops who suffer traumatic injuries need the support of every American. Join us and send your message of support to our wounded warriors and their families at USO.org. The USO, until everyone comes home.
AM 740, with even more of what you're looking for. It's talk radio for adults. Tune in for cutting-edge insight on the issues affecting your generation. Don't miss A Touch of Gray, Sunday afternoons at 1, only on South Florida's Money Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Foreclosure Forum, brought to you by the foreclosure team of attorneys Sasha Katz and Kevin Hagan. This morning we have Kevin in the studio. Kevin, let me get the benefit of your advice. If someone is behind in their mortgage payment, how many months can they get behind before they have to worry?
It's never too early to worry.
Good to hear.
The bank, after 1 month of a missed payment, can accelerate your mortgage and initiate a foreclosure proceeding immediately if they wanted to. So the best advice would be to seek legal representation immediately upon your decision not to pay your mortgage anymore, or if you can't afford to pay your mortgage anymore.
Well, that makes sense. In fact, that fits in with what I've learned about this, is there's no such thing as too early. Before you get served with a foreclosure notice, that's the time to retain an attorney. Give Kevin a call. He'll help you. The number is 954-340-5310, or go to his website. I love this. GetMyHouseBack.com. You can't forget that. And tell him Steve Kane sent you.
AM 740, with even more information you can use. Learn how gold, palladium, and other commodities can help you to secure your financial future. Tune in for the Royal Sovereign Bullion Report with John Cipollone every Friday morning at 10, right here on South Florida's Money Talk Radio. AM 1470, with even more information you can use. Tune in for the latest cutting-edge information on sickness, exercise, and premature aging. Join Dr. Bruce Heatendahl for Health is Wealth Live, Saturday mornings at 9 a.m., right here on South Florida's Health and Wealth Network. AM 1470, WNN, is now the Health and Wealth Network, featuring more of the information you're looking for. Join us for the best health program every day. Then, in late afternoons and evenings, tune in for more information for your financial success. Only on AM 1470 WNN, South Florida's all-new health and wealth network. The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of its host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. It's time to renew your life with Dr. Lisa Palmer, brought to you by the Nova Southeastern University Graduate School of Humanities and Social Sciences and the Renew Center of Florida in Boca Raton. Dr. Palmer is a licensed marriage and family therapist, certified hypnotherapist, and a double AMFC-approved supervisor. She's the president of the Palm Beach Association for Marriage and Family Therapy and has extensive experience working with eating disorders, addictions, traumas, and relationships. The Renew Your Life Show helps you to solve your personal problems. Plus, authors, speakers, and experts give you insight and solutions for health and fitness and improving life balance. And as Dr. Palmer says, balance is possible. Now, renew your life.